Certainly good to see everyone tonight. Thank you very much for being here. And if you are visiting with us, we appreciate your presence. Thank you for taking the time to come and to bless us. And we certainly hope and pray that our service will be meaningful and helpful to every one of us. I suppose that most of us at some point in our lives have probably heard the quote from Shakespeare that Hamlet articulates, "To be or not to be." That is the question. Well, Paul here in 1 Corinthians encourages us to be a number of things. And of course, we have the choice to be or not to be these things the apostle writes about to the church here at Corinth. It's always been amazing to me that the issues and difficulties and problems that face this first century church continue to confront the church of the 21st century. And if one reads through 1 Corinthians quickly, it does not take long to discover that the church in Corinth had a number of problems. And so Paul calls upon them to be certain things, challenges that I believe are very relevant for the church today. So number one, Paul challenges them or tells them to be holy, to be holy. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, Paul, called as an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, with all who in every place call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Called to be saints. Now, there are a number of designations given to the followers of Christ: believers, Christians, disciples, brethren, those being saved, the way. To be a saint means that God has taken us and set us apart. And in effect, he says to us, "Now I want you to be holy and set apart for my purposes." This is a calling. It is a vocation. It's not an avocation. It's not a sideline. It's not a hobby, but it is a life calling. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul says, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called." And so when God takes a person and sets him or her apart, he's really saying, "I want you to live a holy life. I want you to live a different life." We live, of course, in the world, but we are set apart for God's purposes. We're talking about a people who are distinctly different because they belong to Jesus Christ. Now, we're all aware that our culture at times pressures us to adopt and incorporate into our lives their philosophies. But through all of this, God calls for his church to be holy. Isaiah 35, verse 8, "A highway will be there, a roadway, and it will be called the highway of holiness. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for him who walks that way, and fools will not wander on it." Or 1 Peter chapter 1, "But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" Of course, that's the basis of our holiness, because God is holy. He's called us to be holy. And then in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." And so Peter reminds us that we are a chosen race, we're a royal priesthood, we're a holy nation, we are a people who belong to God. Why, Paul? So that we may continue to proclaim the excellencies of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous life. And I've mentioned to you before, but I would suggest to you that a holy life is a life that is dedicated to God, one that is disciplined by God, and a life that is distinctive for God. Be holy. Number two, be united. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 10. Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. For I have been informed concerning you, my brethren, by Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you. Now I mean this, that each man of you is saying, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Has Christ been divided? Paul was not crucified for you, was he? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? And then Psalm 133 verse 1, behold how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. That is a beautiful, beautiful picture. Well, Jesus prayed for it in John 17. You recall, he prayed that all believers be one in order that the world may believe that God sent Jesus. You see, our unity really helps our message to get across to people, because he says, I want you to be one in order that the world may believe that God indeed sent me to this world. So Jesus prayed for it. Paul pleaded for it here in Ephesians chapter 4. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. We must stand for the truth. But let's make sure that we are not making issues out of our opinions and thereby dividing the body of Christ. Be united. Number three, a little stretch here, be long. Be long. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, for even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. So as you read 1 Corinthians 12, you will discover that Paul is basically saying that whether you are a foot or a hand or an eye or an ear, you belong to the body. One link doesn't make a chain, but every link is a part. One instrument doesn't make an orchestra, but every instrument is a part. One person doesn't make up the whole team, but every member is part of the team. And we belong to Jesus, and we belong to each other. And each one of us has a part in the continuing effort to spread the good news of Christ. Every part of the body is important. And I think certainly Paul emphasizes that in Romans 12, as well as stressing that there here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So belong. We belong together. We're in this together. Number four, be involved. Paul concludes that great resurrection chapter. You remember 1 Corinthians 15. Paul talks about the basis of the gospel, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. He talks about some consequences if the resurrection is not true. He talks about what a resurrection body is going to be like. But this is how he concludes that great resurrection chapter. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. And so Paul concludes that great resurrection chapter, which is certainly the basis of our hope, by encouraging the Corinthian brethren and encouraging us to be involved, to be steadfast, to be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And so to be involved means to be drawn in as a participant, to relate closely, to connect. And as I mentioned just a moment ago, we are all a part of the body. And we are all to be involved in the ongoing and growth of the body. You cannot spell the word church without the letter U. You cannot spell Bible study without the letter U. You cannot spell unity without the letter U. You cannot spell the word support without the letter U. Here is Luke's description of that early church, Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 42. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. I mentioned before that Luke seems to indicate here that they certainly, as you think about this early church, they were a learning church. They were continuing in the apostles' teaching. They were a caring church. They continued steadfastly in the fellowship. They were a worshiping church in the breaking of bread and the prayer. They were an evangelizing church, as he concludes this Acts chapter 2 with saying that God was adding to the number day by day those who were being saved. And so I think this is pretty exciting to be a part of this kind of church. And it seems to me that there are three basic components to a healthy church. One is reaching out. This early church initially enjoyed the favor of all the people. And Luke says there in verse 47 that God was adding daily to this church. The community needs to know that we're here and that we are concerned about social justice and helping the poor and preaching a word of hope and witnessing to our city. That reaching out. And then there's a reaching in. They had everything in common. They ate together. They gave to those in need. And I think their fellowship seemed to be rich and intense, and certainly that will continue to be a vital element of a church, is that reaching in component. And then there is that reaching up. The early church was devoted, Luke says, to prayer. They were praising God daily. So I believe a healthy church has all three of those components. It's trying to reach out, it's trying to reach in, and it's also trying to reach up and have that daily prayer and communion with God. Be involved. And then number five, we need to be in love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the great love chapter. Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, you know, he talks about the indispensability of love there in those first three verses. He talks about love's characteristic here in these verses I want to read. And then he talks about love's duration there at the end of the chapter. You know, now abides faith, hope, love, but the greatest of these is love. But in that center section, he talks about some of these characteristics of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. Is not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. This is the more excellent way, the way of Christian love. And so God is calling His church today to be in love with Him, to be in love with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and to have a sincere, genuine love for our fellow human beings that will encourage us and motivate us to reach out and try to touch them with the good news. So in a day of misunderstanding, I want you to know that love is patient. In a day of bitterness, Paul reminds us that love is kind. In a day of competition, love is not jealous. In a day of pride, love is not arrogant. In a day of discourtesy, love does not act unbecomingly. In a day of selfishness, love does not seek her own. In a day of anger, love is not easily provoked. In a day of insincerity, love does not think evil of anyone. In a day of immorality, love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. A call to be five things here in 1 Corinthians. To be holy. To be united. To belong. To be a part of the body here. To be involved in some way in the ongoing of the work here at Regency. And to be a people who are characterized by the kind of love that Paul describes there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. Well, I believe those are certainly relevant challenges for the church today. And I pray that God will help us here at Regency to be that kind of church, especially the church that is trying to reach out, a church that is really trying to enlarge and increase our fellowship with one another, and then a church that is continually reaching up in terms of our dependence upon God through the avenue of prayer and the other ways that I think we can increase our relationship with the Lord. We're going to sing our song of encouragement here in just a moment. And if there's anyone here tonight who is ready to respond to the gospel through faith, repentance, baptism, we want to encourage you to come and do that tonight. If there's anyone here tonight who is ready to come and to say, I need the prayers of the congregation, we're here to pray with you and to pray for you. So if there's any way that we can serve you, would you please let us know as we stand together and sing.